Baby doll, how you doing, dear? Oh, let me see if it's my audio or yours.
Ah, that feels good.
Hey, what's up, Gunnar? How you doing?
Better now than I
take back blasting. Take back the streets. Take back.
Hello.
Take
hello.
Back the streets. Take back. Take back the streets.
Take back the streets.
Take back the streets. Take back. Take back the streets. You know that one? You know that one?
Gotta take back. Take back the streets. Welcome to another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. Watch out! We gotta take them back. We gotta take back the streets. We don't know how, but we do know why. And if you come with me, we'll show you how to take back the streets. Scary world out there, and it's even scarier when you're outside of a motor vehicle. And we believe in a world where everyone should feel safe. Your grandma should be able to go outside. They shouldn't take your son away from you, your sweet, sweet son who you love more than anything, and they shouldn't be able to just crush him and take him away from you. You know, even if he was gay, you know, you still loved him. There's no reason why you should have gotten crushed by that TRD pro.
Gay son, where did you go?
Gay son, where did you go?
Gay son, why did they take
where
you from
your
me?
Frosted tips.
Where gay son, are your gay son, fingernails? Why did they take you from me? Gay son. Like that one? Yeah. Wow. Well, that was a good way to start. How have you been, man?
It was a fun time this weekend. A band that I like and some of my friends dance in the band. It's called Stepmom. You should listen to them. It's a good band from OKC, girl rock. It's a lot of fun. They came through town, so I got to like help them load in, and they crashed, and it was fun. Got to hang out, had a dirty night on Broadway, saw a lot of the regular characters down there, and yeah, yeah, it was a nice reminder of what the streets are like. There was a man who was, you know, losing his mind. He had his cock out, and he was rapping on the street at like 4 p.m.
Oh, hell yeah.
We were, like, loading in. So saw a lot of dong. He got really right up in our grills.
That's crazy.
And then a couple of my buddies tossed him. Yeah, it was that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of urban fun. That was an urban-only experience.
Yeah, so true. No one's going to walk up to you with their dick out in the country, you know?
Yeah, it seems like squarely an urban phenomenon. I'm sure it's not, especially for all the gals out there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when you're all alone, there's nothing to stop you from doing that.
But yeah, that was lovely. And then watch the end of the basketball series, you know, hats off to Mr. Brunson and the Knicks. I'm sad for the Spurs, but they'll be back. They need to clean some things up on the coaching side, I think.
Yeah, sure. Sure, man. I don't know anything about basketball, to be honest with you.
This is not the forum, so I won't go into it for the dear listener, but I have my thoughts as a lover of basketball. But hey, go Knicks. I think this is verified truth. Trump's bad luck. The only game that the Knicks lost in their whole winning streak was when Trump was there. So he's bad luck, and Mamdani has the divine right of kings, I think, at this point. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, surely.
Like, he could command any of us, right? I'm his.
I mean, he is, yeah, a pretty likable guy. He sort of just, like, raw-dogged becoming New York mayor with his likable personality.
Exactly. And now the Knicks won the championship?
Yeah, it is pretty lit, isn't it?
This is objectively good for politics, because people care so much more about things like whether the Knicks win than they do about policy issues that affect their lives. That's just like how the nature of our public discourse is. This is a socialist win for sure.
I did get some fan mail between last episode.
Ooh, a man? You had a man fail?
Well, it's not even fan mail. It's just one of my old coworkers. he sent us some podcast feedback.
Respectfully, stop.
No. I solicited this.
No. I'm saying his feedback was respectfully stop.
Oh, yeah. Alternatives to interlock breathalyzers to prevent drunk driving. Maybe a cum-actuating dildo that must be pleasured to turn on the engine. Nah, dude, I can't drive right now. My jaw is sore as hell.
That's the feedback?
That's what he said we should say on the podcast, which is great. I mean, you have to admit, it's really good content.
He can replace me.
He can come on the pod.
Yeah. I mean, if he's ready to replace me, he could replace me.
He does. He definitely seems like the type of guy who's ready to riff.
Right? I mean, that's funnier than anything I've ever said on or off the podcast.
Sickos only, baby.
What is it? It's sickos only. What is the... There's like a... What's close to sickos? What we talked about this before. Oh, yeah. Sickos. It was like the sicko loser spectrum. We talked about this with Pondless.
Sickos, losers, gooners, neats. Because Madeline
neats,
brought
that
up
that was
neats.
Madeline. Yeah.
Sickos, neat. Gooners, losers, incels, neats, loners. What's the Columbine kids? Who? What are they?
Those are school shooters.
Yes, but do they have a category? I feel like there's school shooters in all of these categories.
Are they anti-heroes? It's one of the, I think, most potent symptoms of the illness of our society.
It's just like unavoidably violent. And it's like random in its impacts. It's not like environmental racism where, you know, it just, we put all the trash and all the carcinogens in one side of town, etc., right? It's more like kind of random.
I don't know. It's usually like I think that it is attributable to like a culture of white supremacy intersecting with the realities of a society that is stratified by economic class, because it's always a white kid who feels like his life should be better. It's always a white male who has not gotten the things that they feel entitled to by the like white supremacist and patriarchal society that we live in.
It's all brand, baby.
It's all about the gate.
Well, no, it's like when you can only afford to live in like an apartment with roommates, and like you can't afford your car payment, and you're just fucked all the time. It's like, yeah, I'd feel pretty upset.
Yeah.
School shooters, man. Why do they do it? Next time on Are You Into Bus Stuff?
Just do it with your car. Do it with your Chevy Tahoe. Do it with your car. Do it with your Dodge Neon.
Listen, kid. Listen, I know you're upset. I want you to know it gets worse. I want you to know it just gets worse from here on out.
That is so untrue.
It depends on the kid, to be fair.
I think that life will always be challenging, but there is always light if you are willing to like open your eyes and see it. And if you can't see it right now, well, this is a voice telling you that it's coming.
Just because you have hope doesn't mean that things are going to get better. It's just not up to you. And so you just have to accept day by day the hopeless reality of a godless existence.
And I would say one of the things that you can do to combat that is to have hope. And whatever you have hope for may be different than what I have hope for. But I hope for small things. And that helps me. I'm not hoping that I'm going to be saved for eternity by a magic being. Who has a cute beard and a sexy jawline and is going to kiss me on the mouth and take me away from all my pain forever. But I am hopeful that I'll get to make the podcast again, and here we are. I am hopeful that I'll get to, you know, kiss and hug my loved ones. That's not happening right now, but that hope lives in me and helps me persist. I have hope that the gooners will take back the streets in the dead of night.
I hope if I'm lucky, I'll have 60 good years left of YouTube shorts and TikTok.
Hell yeah, brother.
If I'm lucky, I'll be able to watch TikTok for another 60 years.
I'll be able to rot and stink.
No, I don't need hope. I'll just numb my senses every minute of every day until the day that I die.
That's super, super hopeful, I think.
Just bust a goon.
Just bust a goon and take a few steps, because you know it's all about the gate.
Nah, man.
When you're walking through
life
town.
Is good. Life is good. I'm not actually that sad.
Sad alert. Sad alert.
I'm not sad. I'm not sad. I'm super happy. I love my life. I love my life.
You are want, you've always been want to like say the saddest things when you're not feeling sad. Like once you've processed it, you'll like say it and you'll be like, but I'm fine. And then we're like, are you sure? And then you all, you usually are.
No, what's our transportation content this week, man? I got, I'm just sad about how hard it is to ride a bike. That's it. That's all I got this week.
I don't know. I've been thinking about the touring musician because there were some touring musicians, you know, van lifing musicians, who use the city's and country's transportation system of roads to drive a motor vehicle around to deliver sweet, sweet tunes unto the people. And yeah, I wonder what the most prominent band is that's ever like died in a car accident on tour.
Well, P. Lander Z just almost died. You hear about that?
Mm-mm.
It's a band of, I think, Japanese immigrants to America, but I think they live in the States. I think they live in Austin, but they all were permanently disfigured and nearly killed a month or two ago. Burr, 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 van crash. No, it's the latest in car crash news.
Yeah, I mean, pour one out for Viola Beach. Pour one out for Hers. Pour one out for the Exploding Hearts, the Nellons. These are all folks that have perished in the last 25 years. They were bands that died in car crashes. But I mean, like the like van life, the like touring in a vehicle, like it's just so embedded in the culture of the United States. And I feel like it has contributed to like good music coming out of the U.S., like that interconnectivity.
I don't know if these guys are Japanese or American, but they look Japanese. And their names are extremely Japanese. Like, their name isn't like Kyle Yamamoto. You know, it's like, I don't think you'd ever meet an American kid with any of these names.
Why is Ben so interested in whether they are Japanese or not? Vote now on your phones.
Very different places, very different cultures.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Way less likely to die in a car accident in Japan.
Yeah, they have a really high bike share.
They do have, I mean, there's certainly parts of Japan that are extremely car oriented.
Yeah, but like, I think kids have pretty good independent mobility, right? Like, there's a lot of pedestrian spaces.
Most, like, urban, especially, like, urban people.
What, there are black people in Japan?
Yeah. Yeah, they're, that's crazy. Their keeper, their main keeper is, I think, half black.
I have a little bit of car crash news. So, Washington sent me their database. Have I already whined about how shitty the New Jersey data is?
A little bit, but you could tell me more. Tell me more. Like, does he crash a car?
No. So in the time that I haven't been able to dedicate a lot of time to processing the new data, but I started on New Jersey like 3 weeks ago, and I'm still not done. Usually, it takes me like 2 days to do a state, and in that time, like a whole month has gone by, and Washington has fulfilled the public information request and like sent me all their shit. And is almost inevitably going to be of a higher data quality. So it's like, I've got to finish this like slog, and then I can do Washington.
If there's a long-term benefit like to teaching me that, then we should do that. I'm game for that.
I mean, I think everyone should know a little bit of Python.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to learn. I should know in case there's some sort of, you know, you do ride your bike out in Austin all the time.
Yeah, dude. One of these days. Remember, the day that they kill me, you got to find the guy and kill him back.
Yeah, I know. I have until midnight.
Until midnight or I'll hunt you forever.
Listener, you and I have until midnight, the day that Ben eventually perishes, to go and find the person that did it and take him out. You know this. Longtime listeners will know this, but everyone else, you're locked in. This is a covenant. By listening to this podcast, you have agreed to these terms.
What are you actually eating? Agreed? Stop. You've agreed. I'm not eating anything. You've agreed
sorry,
to
the cat.
Oh, you've agreed to a suicide pact by listening to this podcast.
Yes,
we're all gonna kill ourselves on Christmas Eve, 2040. Okay,
in the streets.
And that's the night. That's
hands.
The night we take back the streets. And if we don't
Buck
succeed,
naked.
We just kill ourselves.
Yeah, if we haven't done it by then, game over. I mean, what's the point?
Don't do it. If you're at home and you're thinking about doing it, don't do it.
Don't do it. We love you.
I don't love you. Someone loves you. Okay?
Yeah. I don't know. There's love in the world and you can find it.
You can find it. I know you haven't yet. You just smell. You got this. You got this. I would be the worst suicide hotline. Here. Role play. I'm the suicide hotline. You're about to commit suicide. And scene.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello, suicide hotline.
Hi. Hi.
How you doing?
I mean, not great.
Why are you calling the suicide hotline?
Because
you know this is for suicides, you fucking idiot. Worthless, stupid asshole.
Well, I was listening to this podcast and they were confusing me because first they were saying to do it and then they were saying not to do it. And I wanted to call and, I don't know, ask about them. And,
what are you, some kind of gooner? Some kind of sicko? I mean,
yeah.
Some kind of loser? some kind of worthless loser?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I don't understand the point, but I just want to do right by the Gooner Army.
All right, kid, I got some news for you. Jihad. Okay. We're gonna make you do a jihad.
Who is we?
Me, the suicide hotline. Well, me, Ben, at the suicide hotline. I'm gonna send you in there.
Okay. Well, at least I'll die for something, right?
We're gonna take your worthless, meager existence and turn it into pure, raw function.
So, like, classic jihad.
I don't know what makes it classic. I think classic might be like a sitar. But we're gonna give you a bomb.
Okay, and I'm gonna go make a big hole in the street. Where all the cars go?
I don't know. I don't want to name anyone specific so we don't get in trouble. Even though we're just riffing.
Yeah, I don't know about that bit.
You shouldn't bomb the government.
No.
I think that goes without saying. Unless you want to be really cool. Unless you want to be a hero forever. And you want to do the right thing.
I mean, as the guys who make
$1.
Unless you're
braver than the rest of us and you want to be a hero forever, you shouldn't bomb the government.
And remember, this comes from the perspective of the guys who make $1 every time someone dies in traffic.
I don't know, man. What even is the bit? Like, we make money off of car crashes? Like, that's sort of powerful. Like, it's provocative, I guess. But, I don't know. We'd really have to lean into it and we'd really have to, like... Make
You're not
media.
Pissing in there, are you?
No, I'm not.
You're not pissing in there, are you?
I'm a piss machine.
Ben has always pissed everywhere you tell him not to. Please don't take our silly bits as instructions or real suggestions. These are just jokes, jokes, jokes. If you're feeling sad and your eyes are kind of runny, just remember, all it takes to laugh is to find someone who's funny.
Never forget.
Never forget September 11th, 2001.
September 11th, September 11th.
Oh, yeah.
Never, ever, ever forget. Never, ever, ever forget. Never, ever, ever, ever forget. September 11th.
Okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that does the trick. It's just amazing, you know, hundreds of 9/11s of deaths have occurred on our roadways, preventable tragedies, and I think that we are constantly stuffed the things we're supposed to remember, the Alamo. Am I supposed to remember the Alamo, or am I supposed to remember Jenny, who was just trying to cross the street with her daughter and got creamed by a Sierra? I don't know which. It's so hard to compare tragedies, but I think that the tragedies that we have control over for some reason in our society seem to get purposefully kicked under the rug.
I just want to go on record that my favorite death in the database is I clicked on a random street in California, and it was like a six-year-old that had been hit by a car, and there was a note that they had been jaywalking, and that remains the saddest one.
Six-year-old being a kid.
And it just says so much about the legal framework that our society operates in and how like intensely perverse it is. You should be held liable if you kill someone with your car, legally and in like a civic sense. Right? Am I nuts? I mean, 100% of these are accidents, we're saying? We've just chalked every single one of these up to like a bona fide, unavoidable accident? Like, 100% of these could have done something differently. But I mean, I don't know, man. It all comes down to design.
We're collectively culpable because these have been design decisions that have been driven by voters and made by elected officials and career civil servants over decades that have influenced the behaviors that people choose to engage in. There's also economic factors, and you know, I need not express the depth of the power of the car lobby and the oil and gas lobby to influencing consumer behaviors over the last 70 years. But you would hope in a just society that when tragedies happen and when violence is happening around us all the time, that yes, we can hold individuals accountable for their personal failures, right? Like running over a six-year-old, you probably weren't paying attention while you were driving. That's not cool. In any, you know, scenario, like, we have to take care of each other. If you're gonna drive a car, be fucking careful, pay the fuck attention. That might still not keep you from killing someone, but it'll help, so please do your best. But then I would hope that as a society we could come together and say, look at this preventable death, look at this preventable tragedy and pain that we inflict on our neighbors, like, day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out. But Gunnar Army, I fear that we got a lot of work to do to make everybody hold hands the way we want.
Gunners.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you want to be free? Will you take back the streets? Will you take them back with me? Oh, Gooners. Do you want to be free? Gooners. The folks at home were like, how many episodes in a row can we sing this exact song?
Is that the same melody? It feels the same. It's different, but it's the same.
It's different, but it's the same. It's the same bit, but it's just different every time. You know what I mean? Gooners, do you want to be free? Streets in the dead of night. Do you want
to take back the streets in the dead of night. The government will fall, the gooners will be free. And I don't know, but will you come with me?
I'll never come.
Oh, gooners, take back the streets. Overthrow the feeble government. The power's in your hands. The government will fall if you kill them.
Sorry, my headphones fell off. I'm getting a little carried away today. I don't feel like I'm on my podcast A game.
Yeah, I think that we are living through another day in a reality that is filled with YouTube shorts and TikToks and Instagram and Microsoft Teams and software that like doesn't work. Software, our world is built on, so first of all, we are primarily digital in our ethnography. Like where we are has more to do with who we work with, which is often online, and who we interact with, which is often online, and the content that we consume, which we get slop, into the trough from online. And beyond that, we are constantly like confused, right? Like the mode of the like social media platforms is to overwhelm us and trigger our dopamine and trigger our animal instincts as much as possible so that we don't need to satisfy our social urges outside of that context. It's just so much easier, and like there's something sensual about the thumb swipe, right? That's like so easy. Whereas I have to like click, 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 control C, control V, click, 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 control C, control I, control D, tab, 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 left, right, control D, tab, enter, control D, tab, enter, control D, tab, enter. I think these modes are harmful. Both of these modes that were given to fill our hours are harmful compared to like hoeing a lawn or riding a bike. And I just think the more that you can touch grass, touch ass, eat ass, smoke grass, the better. Don't pass.
Eat ass, smoke grass. Don't. What's the line, man? What's the line?
Fish bass. Give sass.
Eat ass, smoke grass. Brussels sprouts will give you gas.
That's true.
Eat ass, smoke grass, never masturbate in mass.
Yeah, basically go outside, ride your bike, go to the convenience store and say hi to the clerk. And I don't know, don't get your dick out.
Yeah, I want to be clear about one thing. We're gooners, but that does not mean we are predators. Be good to people. Gooning is often done alone.
Yeah, the crux of the gooning argument being like intersecting with the car logic, like gooning logic and car logic are the same, right? You have this like you're doing something in private, right? People in cars are not actually outside, I think, is like part of the core message, part of the message through the fog.
It's such a perverse way to move through the world. Like, it's arrogant. It's obese. I don't know. I just, the same experience moving down the street in two different ways. And it's like, there's a perverse nature to moving around the earth at such an insane scale. And I don't know.
Right. Carrying so much.
I judge people.
Kinetic
I judge
energy.
People for it. It's strange. It's otherworldly. It's alien. You know what I mean?
This is the type of shit that like early religious folks were on when they were when religious folks are on about technology, like consuming us and turning us into sinners, right?
Well, gluttony is the cardinal sin of American society. Greed, gluttony,
sloth.
Is cum guzzling on there?
Lust. We got lust pretty bad. It's Pride Month.
Lust?
What'd you say?
Leave lust out of this, okay?
Leave lust out of it. This explicitly Christian broadcast, this deeply religious fervor that we spit on the mic.
Yeah, slurp it up. Slurp it up.
But no, you're so right. Like, if you wanted to get around the world in such a way, back in the day, like super back in the day, like the best that you could do is have a bunch of like hot guys carry you around in like a, you know, curtained, you know, seat, right? Like a little coach. Like back in the day, that was the only way. And then like when they were doing the Industrial Revolution before like they had cars, you know, talk about like London in the late 1800s, you know, you had like a carriage, you had horse and carriage, but that sucked. That was stinky. That was bumpy and terrible. Like, and the level of kinetic energy carried was nowhere near that of like a GMC Sierra or a Chevy Silverado or a Kia Soul. All cars are bad. If you hate the Cybertruck, you're so close. All of these things carry so much kinetic energy that you should consider yourself evil because you are a gluttonous, slothful, wrathful little bitch.
No, and it's tough, right? Because most people don't... This perspective is so outside the realm of normal that, I don't know, like, we remember when we grew up in the suburbs? Do you remember the ass pounder?
I try not to.
Like I have a deep nostalgia for that time, just getting around in a 1991 Toyota Corolla.
Having you drive me around in the ass pounder is where I became a man.
But I had independent mobility before then, but just not to a lot of stuff. Like, a key aspect of my childhood is that there was nothing to do. We would just bike around. And the only thing we could bike to was HEB, and we went there every day for 8 years in the summer.
Yeah, HEB and Fern Bluff Park, basically.
He's right. Basketball and there was a machine outside the HEB which sold sodas for 25 cents. And as a 12-year-old, you can pretty much always afford a 25-cent soda. So that shit was great. We loved that shit.
Yeah. Before I moved to Round Rock, I have memories of going down to the Walmart. We would bike down or walk down to the Walmart all the time because it was the only thing to do. This is less of a suburban place. It had a fairly suburban form, but it was, you know, it's Cedar City, Utah. It's not like a big city. But yeah, fairly suburban form. And yeah, we would go to the Walmart. We'd make little forts out of the... We'd like bury ourselves into like the toilet paper or the paper towels and we'd scare people. One time we stole a fish.
Did you meet any polygamists?
Yeah, plenty. Yeah, there were lots. Often at the Walmart is where you'd see them.
I mean, everybody's got to go to Walmart.
Everybody's got to have beans.
No, on Sister Wives, one of the like divorce mediations was in Cedar City.
Yeah, man. We saw them all the time. I mean, when we would drive to Flagstaff, sometimes we'd go down the way where you drive through Colorado City. Which is right on the border of Arizona and Utah. That was where like Warren Jeff's big compound was before they went to Texas. I think there was one other spot in Utah that they went to before they went to Texas. But yeah, man, like it was present. I mean, there were people in Cedar City that were FLDS and they didn't go to school, right? They were like homeschooled. And there were some that like we considered like halfies, right? Folks who like were definitely cousins of polygamists, but they like weren't, and they like went to school.
yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Definitely, like in some of our rural communities, you know, I bet it's similar in like Pennsylvania, West Virginia, like where there's a lot of Amish and things like that. Like it's really interesting how different the world is. It's like eye-opening to have a peek at it, and I'm so grateful to be a city person.
You and I have two wives.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got you.
I have three.
And then the real one.
Yeah, I have my wife, you, and the map.
And the map, yeah, the death map. We're all married to the death map.
Three wives.
You should only be able to have as many cars as you have wives. That would be a good limiter. That would limit car ownership.
So if you have one wife, do you and her only get one car?
Exactly.
The more I ride in my girlfriend's car, the more I feel like a bum and not like a proud, independent, like, anti-car guy. Because it's just so convenient. She'll, like, come home from work and she happens to pass by my house and it's like, just throw the bike in the car and then ride home in the morning or, you know.
Yeah, man, we have to exist in the world that we find ourselves in. And we definitely believe that driving a car is a sin, but, you know, I don't know if we're anti-sin on this podcast.
This morning I biked home in the rain. I could have not done that, but I did because I'm not a pussy. I'd rather die than be a pussy.
And I don't think that it's surprising that most people don't make that same calculation.
Is that toxic? Is that...
Yeah. I mean, in the context of...
I mean, yes, on both counts.
In the context of taking care of your three wives, yeah.
I know. I love you. I love my wife. I love the map. And I want to live. Nope, I don't
want
to die.
None of us want you to die.
I don't want to die. But
none of us want you to die.
I don't want to contribute to the problem. Right? I want to live my values.
Right. And, you know, I think everyone can make that, can draw that line for themselves. If for you right now, that is, you know, taking all of your errand trips and all of your social trips on a bicycle or not in a car, right? If that's what you can do, that's what you can do. And I just challenge you to take the first step in that direction. You don't have to be like Ben. You don't have to bike through the rain, through a dangerous part of town, right? But you do have to at least bike somewhere once a week, right? Take a trip that you otherwise take in a car, on your bike or on transit or on your feet or on your pogo stick or whatever, or on your horse, like that's even safer. I think that's all we can ask people to do is like take one step in that direction.
And slowly it moves the needle.
Because you're not going to fix anything by going out there while it's raining. Like that individual action doesn't have an outcome of like fixing the problem.
Asking people to do the right thing doesn't move the needle, right? But I don't know, maybe asking them to, like, you know, jihad. Maybe that will move the
needle. Asking people to do the right thing only moves the needle if they do it.
Right, but no one will do it because it's just not possible. It's not practical. It just doesn't work.
I think if they're scared of sin, if they're scared of eternal damnation and they want to give up their gluttonous, slothful, wrathful lifestyle, then they will. I think their fear of God might inspire them.
The determining factor is the convenience of the alternatives and the convenience of driving. There's no... This podcast doesn't believe in the efficacy of educational programs or like public good or decency or human decency.
That's why I'm telling the listener that when they step in the motor vehicle, they are taking on a cardinal sin that will damn them to hell forever.
But really, you just have to make it slower than the train.
I mean, that would be the practical way to go about it.
Yeah.
But I've got this listener who's just like shaking in their boots. They're having a religious awakening at understanding the connection between their actions and cardinal sin. And, you know, am I a prophet? Am I like Alex Jones? Maybe.
I was in Washington recently and I saw some people taking like inter-county transit, which is just fucking unheard of over here, right? To see someone getting on a bus in the city going to another like small, in a small town going to another small town in a rural area like that, that's just nuts. But even then,
I did this a bit in Ireland.
I have to think that even there, where there's funding, due to land development, it's all still like 100% car mode, right? And it's just like, is there anywhere in the world that soundly supports a decent transit mode share that doesn't meet a sufficient density?
I think that density in lived environments, in communities, density of communities, is a factor that makes it easy to do so. And you think about like rural Ireland, right? Where like the form is essentially there's a town every so often along a road, right? Along the main roads. And the town has been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it has, you know, it definitely has pre-car infrastructure, right? And there is a sufficient density within that town to allow everyone, really, that lives in the town to be able to walk to the bus station, and that might be the easiest way to get to another like nodule on that network, as opposed to like our exurban and suburban environments, which are like population spread evenly everywhere, as opposed to like centers of population density. So I think that that like age of development helps, and I think like the intentionality, you see like the success of Dutch suburbs, right, that have a great like design in terms of being able to provide walkability or bikeability to everything people need in their neighborhood, as well as access to either a greater transportation network via bicycle or transit, or the ability to like get on a train within a mile of any spot. So I do think density is like an important factor. And I do think that the like free land of the West in the United States it has been harmful to our development in terms of roadway safety. He's a looking it up. He's a looking it up. He's going to tell us the facts. He's going to figure it out. He's Ben with the numbers.
No, I have no data. I have no numbers, no data. Who even fucking cares, honestly? I can sit here all day and be like, 40,000 people died. No one fucking cares. I can be like, literally no one gets hit by an e-bike and dies. And people are like, you're a dumbass. Bikes are dangerous. And it's like, no, like, oh, holy shit. Empirically, like, this, essentially nobody dies.
Greed, wrath, gluttony, and sloth.
Especially in the
greed,
context
wrath,
of like,
gluttony, and sloth.
Vehicle miles traveled. All cars are bad. Get an e-bike. Kill yourself, not someone else. I mean, that's kind of the motorcycle calculus anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll die in a collision 100% of the time. That's what it's like to go outside. Because the fats are out and about.
Because those carrying 2 tons at 80 miles an hour are in your neighborhood, listener. Practicing their sloth and their gluttony and their greed. They're going to get you.
I don't know how I'm not fucking morbidly obese.
Well, you biked like 80 miles the other day. You bike everywhere.
No, but like I eat a lot.
Yeah, but you burn like, it off, bro. You bike dozens of miles every day.
No. I mean, I eat so much and it's like a problem, but I'm just postponing the inevitable by trying to bike everywhere because it's like you can't just eat 4,000 calories a day forever. But I want to. Like, I desperately want to. When I don't bike anywhere, I still do that, right? So I just have to keep biking all the fucking time. And it's, like, not a real solution, but if we're going on, like, 3 years now.
I mean, you could go back to cigarettes.
I could. I weighed about the same.
I wonder if your appetite would be less all-consuming if you smoked less weed.
No, well, that's just not that's not an option.
So the weed and the 4,000 calories go together.
I don't know. I've just always smoked this much weed.
Ruby-dooby-doo. You and I definitely, I mean, I feel like in high school we had a Ben and Scooby vibe. Or a Ben and Scooby. We had a Shaggy and Scooby vibe. I think maybe we still do.
We did. Well, we only smoked weed for like 8 months in high school. But I've smoked weed ever since that point.
Yeah, I've always thought of you as like a Scooby-Doo.
Do you remember getting high at Ellie Mock's house?
Yeah.
In the woods?
I do. That was excellent.
Was that our first time? What was your first time? I had smoked with Nick Orzek previously.
Mm-hmm. But that was my first time.
That I had like cheated on you.
Is that true?
Because we had promised each other that we were going to smoke weed together.
I don't remember being hurt about that.
Well, you busted my chops.
Oh, well, that sounds right.
Right.
It's never been different. If you think that Ben and I were different 15 years ago, it's just not true.
If you want to make a difference in the life of a severely person, please consider donating to the Are You Into Bus Stuff podcast. It's the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic, hosted by Ben Carnero and Lucas Riley of Gooner fandom, of the Gooner army, of the Gooner resistance.
The high generals of the Gooner army.
The Gooner Communist Party. Man, I had a banger thought today. I was like, man, the only reason they want us to be scared of China is because they ate their landlords and then they brought more people out of poverty than any country in the history of the world.
Shh.
Like, what the fuck, bro?
Shh.
The government is listening. The government is looking at your dick pics anyway, right? And so is Google. And so is Meta. Dude, they have like parks and trains and subsidized health insurance. Don't be a fucking idiot. Your life will be better. They live better than us now.
Yeah, and we don't have to do it the exact same way that they did it. We don't have to build the same prosperity that they are building. But look at the first step that Ben just mentioned.
They ate the rich.
They said, wait.
That's the dirty little secret of the Chinese Communist Party. They ate the rich. Literally.
Yeah, they killed the lording families and the landowners, the landholders. They had a structure that allowed few to prosper from great wealth extraction that was happening because of, just like the long time success of Chinese agriculture and industry and art and technology, right? Like, China's always been great, right? Human beings are awesome. They make really cool stuff. And the society was stacked in such a way that a few people prospered from this way more than everybody else. And everyone else was forced to slog on and give all their time to generate wealth for the landowners and for the landlords, for the lords and the ladies and their families. And they decided to end that, and it was bumpy. It was bumpy. And like Ben said, we're probably in for like more of like a right fascist proper takeover, but it would be nice. It would be nice. I'm reading a book right now called Peach Blossom Paradise by, I believe it's called Gay Fei or Guy. I don't know how you say his name. But it is set during the Chinese Revolution. And it is told through the lens. It's sort of like a take on a myth or a parable in the Chinese literature and Chinese tradition. And it's just really beautiful. Peach Blossom Paradise. It kind of immerses you in that time through a really interesting lens. So I recommend it.
If you wanna go outside,
gooners,
go outside,
gooners.
If you wanna stop being a sloth, stop being a sloth,
gooners.
If you wanna stop being a glutton, stop being a glutton. Don't drive,
gooner.
If you wanna stop being wrathful, if you wanna stop being a sloth, don't drive,
gooner.
Just once or twice, don't drive.
To another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. I'm your auntie Lucas Riley, and that's Big Daddy Ben Carnero on the keys. thank you for tuning in. We have some fun, exciting stuff coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to be putting a call out to you, Gunnar Army, to help us memorialize the violence in your community. So stay tuned.
Well, I don't know how well that went, but, you know, we did our best. I'm so sorry.
I don't know. Every week I get on the mic and I just let it out. I try to let the spirit lead me. This is becoming more and more of a religious exercise for me.
So true. It follows no logic.
Yep. Yep. But neither does our violent network of rivers of blood that we have to traverse every day. So why fight logic? Why fight like a lack of logic with logic?
Why fight a deeply irrational, ubiquitous violence with, you know, like cuckism? I don't want to be an anti-intellectual, but I'm getting there.
I don't want to be an anti-intellectual, but if it doesn't make me wet.
If I can't goon, I'll see you soon.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.